rocket and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can tope.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Thank you, thank you, thank you very much, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you. Welcome to Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. It's 4:02. Time for my dyslexics to get high. Glad to have you here. Before we get to the ranting, and oh, there's going to be some ranting, let me break some news for you. Not necessarily good news. I guess it depends on how you look at it. It's kind of good in the we're making progress sense. It's kind of sad in the hurting for our veterans sense, but here's the news. Today, the House voted just less than a half hour ago on the latest bill to allow the Veterans Administration doctors to recommend medical cannabis to those veterans living in the states where medical cannabis is legal. Of course, we know how well the medical use of cannabis will aid our veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, neuropathic pain, etc., etc. Of course, we all support the troops. You know, support the troops. Rah, rah. Put the flag on your car. Support your troops. Make sure your flag pin is right there on your breast, Congressman. But don't do a goddamn thing to help them. The latest vote lost today. 210 to 213. We just needed to have two representatives on the no side switch to the yes side. And veterans in 23 states would be able to access medical marijuana through their VA doctor. Two votes away, people. Now, on the progress side, last year we lost it 195 to 221. This year it was 210 to 213. So we've gained 15 votes on the yes side. But still not enough. Folks, I don't know how any legislator, any federal legislator, is able to vote against this bill. With what our federal Congress has put our soldiers through since 9/11. And, you know, think what you will about the justification for going to Iraq or Afghanistan. You can be a dove. You can be a hawk. You can think it was the right thing to do. You can think it's the wrong thing to do. But no matter what you think about why our soldiers ended up there, our soldiers ended up there. And many times we're talking about National Guardsmen and reservists who, while they serve honorably, it was really never their intention to be full-time warriors. And get called back for 4, 5, 6 tours of duty. And now, coming back with injuries that in previous wars, in previous decades, would have killed them. But thanks to our modern miracles of surgery and battlefield technology and all of that, we can save many of these lives, at least on the battlefield, and then ship them back to America where they've got to cope with not having a limb and the neuropathic pain that comes with that, or having a shattered psyche from the horrors of war, and not be able to deal with that through the VA, through the states that have voted to allow them to do that. I don't know how they vote for that. How do they not vote for that? Don't want to appear to be pro-drug. Don't want to be pro-marijuana. Is that it? You're so afraid of being pro-marijuana, Mr. Representative, Miss Representative, Ms. Representative. You're so afraid of being pro-drug that you could vote anti-troops? Shame on you. Shame on the 212 who voted against this and forestalled for another year at least the ability of these vets in these states to be able to get the relief they deserve. All right, let me go back. Well, we're going to take a break, but before we go, coming up on the show in our next segment, we're going to talk about nutritional high trading on the OTC penny stocks as spliff and their marvelous idea to institute urine testing for their employees before they work on a manufacturing line. We're going to explain to David Posner just how well that worked out for Todd Mitchum and OpenVape. Already on my Twitter feed, UO Forever says, and boycotted. I'll never buy a product from Nutritional High. In my chat room, numerous people echoing that same. Vendekar says, if that guy is okay and proactive about piss testing, I have no use for his company. John Thomas says, because marijuana consumers make a more dangerous workplace than alcohol consumers? Speed Limit says, look
Jive,
like...
Jive, Murray, Grifo, Grass, Hay. Technically, it's Cannabis Sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different. Something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Oh man, I really dig this tune. You should really check out this groove.
Cool. Groovy.
Hey, check out more deep cuts like this on my show, Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, every Thursday night on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
Are you tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? Then keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor-free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA-free, and UV-resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent ya.
We'll be right back.
everybody, feeling groovy here with Booker T and the MGs. Oh yeah. That's Hip Hug Her. Loving that groove. And you can catch grooves like that on Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. We're doing it live. Big Daddy's live every Friday night. Excuse me. Big Daddy's live every Friday night at 10 p.m. Pacific. We replay the show Saturdays at 10 and Thursdays at 8. So you can always catch Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink Thursday, Friday, and Saturday right here on 420radio.org. Now, before I went to break, as I was saying, folks in our chat room are responding quite negatively to Nutritional High. And by the way, their Twitter handle is at Nutritional High. Feel free to let them know how you feel. But they are pointing out that they're not too happy about this idea of drug testing. Vendicar is against it. John Thomas is against it. Speed Limit says, looks like another company's product I will never try because they are profiteers for Prohibition. Too bad. I really love edibles. And Vape Man 2 says, I don't want to support a cannabis company that would not let their employees use it. And, of course, as we mention this, let's point out the fact that we're not for people working high, even though I guess I do. But we're not for people working high, especially on an assembly line, manufacturing. It's not like we're stupid. It's not like we're thinking, hey, let's see how baked we can get and see how well we do with the belt sander or something, right? I mean, that's not the point. I don't know why there'd be a belt sander in an edibles place, but... Work with me, people. Nobody is saying that you should be working high on the assembly line or anything. But your metabolites that indicate you are merely a cannabis consumer, not that you're currently high, is no basis by which to exclude people from employment, David, and Nutritional High. I'm not going to be buying any of your products. I still don't purchase open vape cartridges, and they changed their drug testing policy. Drug testing, piss testing, is the whole reason I'm here. And if you can't understand that it is a gross violation of our rights and a gross violation of a trust relationship, then your business has no business profiting from the cannabis community. So this is an open warning to all cannabis business companies out there. I'm starting to get more of you that are sending me these little PR things. You know, interview my guy, interview this guy about this or that. We've got the new greatest company that does this or that. And I'm willing to interview, but understand that is going to be the final question of every interview I do now, from now on, with every business owner. Do you endorse the use of metabolite urine testing for cannabis on your employees as a condition of employment? Because there is no reason anybody profiting from cannabis shouldn't understand why we hate that idea. Now, don't try to get cute with it either. OpenVape tried to get cute with it and say, oh, well, see, no, we're progressive because we're going to have a piss testing program, but we're not going to test for marijuana. We'll just test for the bad drugs. That don't cut it either. It's not what you're testing for. It's the idea that you think our piss determines how good an employee we are. It's that you think you, as someone who pays us for 8 hours a day, have the right to determine what we do with the other 16. That's the problem. That's the fundamental problem. Doesn't matter what drug you're testing for. And of course, all of these complaints about, oh, we got to make sure the workplace is safe, we wouldn't want to have an unsafe workplace, ignores the fact that none of you are testing for alcohol. Nobody's testing, well, maybe some are, but most people aren't testing for alcohol. And it ignores the fact that the leading cause of workplace injury is not drugs, it's fatigue. It's people who are too tired to do the job they're doing. It's fatigue from being ill. And then when you do start looking at the drug causes of workplace accidents And absenteeism, it's oftentimes over-the-counter drugs that are a problem. Antihistamines, DayQuil. This idea in America, this work-to-death attitude that we have, that you've got to be on your deathbed before you take time off. By God, wipe those sniffles off your face and come to work and infect the rest of us. That stupid attitude we have where nobody can get sick time. Everybody's, oh my God, I'm out of sick days. Too bad this virus didn't know that I'm out of sick days. Insane work-to-death attitude that we have in America. So you got people coming to work, fatigued, head cloggy, from whatever they're suffering from, and the drugs they're using to treat it. And you want me to be concerned that somebody might have smoked a joint on the weekend is going to be a danger on the assembly line next to me? How ridiculous. How insane. It's just that John Thomas said it up in the chat room earlier that the workplace drug test is the loyalty oath of the, I forget what he called it, prohibition regime of the American police state, something like that. But he's right. Now, I don't begrudge people that take these tests. Because a lot of you are faking it to make it. A lot of you are cheating the drug tests. And that to me is civil disobedience. That to me is subversion. I love it. I love knowing that there are people in workplaces all across America with fake dongs strapped to their waist and a bag of fake pee, synthetic pee, or someone else's clean pee. I love the idea that there's women in workplaces around this country who have stashed a small bottle of clean urine in their vagina just in case they get a drug test. That really is happening in America in order to beat this pharmacological McCarthyism. So, Nutritional High, I don't know if you noticed it during the interview, but you made a huge PR blunder today. Huge. And I hope you learn from it and change your ways and understand that there are ways of testing for impairment that don't involve checking someone's pee or hair or saliva. You know, there's electronic impairment testing now. Really effective stuff, especially for a manufacturing environment. With a very cheap program that can be run on something as simple as an Android tablet or an iPad, you can establish a baseline for every employee, their own personal baseline that shows that they're not impaired. And you can test them before work. You can test them randomly with this simple little test and know immediately, not have to wait for a lab, know immediately whether they're impaired or not and whether to take them off the floor. You know, I was reading in the comments today on the Washington Post piece about the drug testing. And one of the commenters pointed out that it's telling that we have to have drug testing to determine whether someone's on drugs, because apparently their job performance or outward personality isn't enough to detect it. It's a very well put. It reminds me of a stand-up comedian I saw once who said, look, drug testing is cheating. If I can go to work high and you can't tell, I win. If you can't tell your employees high, how much of a problem are they, really? Insane stuff, folks. All right, coming up, we've got some more stories to cover here. talk about the hellacious aspects of the war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs. This story out of Houston of this truck driver, wait till you hear this one. Poor guy trying to run a trucking company, gets jacked by the DEA, and now has no recourse. We'll tell you how that went down. Also coming up on the show, sad story out of Georgia. One of the young girls fighting for CBD oil. It didn't come soon enough for her. We'll tell you about that. Also in Off the Warpath, we'll talk a little bit about Baltimore and more discussions on race in America. And coming up next, our Groovin' Thursday tune, We got Chuck Diesel calling in. We got something good for you on the hip hop tip. So stay tuned for that. Light them up. Have a good time. Because guess what, folks?
Hide the dope.
We don't have any dope.
And what did I just smoke?
Because it's 420 right here in Portland, Oregon, and all along the West Coast. We hope you get to enjoy your 420 break the best way you know how. And we'll be here fighting to make sure you can do that and not get busted. Might take us some time, but we're going to legalize this entire country and the whole world. We're back with Groovin' Thursday right after this.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National, Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Oh yeah, welcome back everybody. Groovin' Thursday, ready to go, get our groove on, and we've got Chuck Diesel on the line bringing the groove to us. How you doing, Chuck?
Doing great. How are you doing, Russ?
Oh, the weather's been so nice. It's been hard to do a show, I tell you, buddy.
I know, man. It's hard being a working man on days like this, but
sure is, man.
You got to do what you got to do for the cause, right?
I guess so. What's up with you, man?
I'm just enjoying the sunshine. Been smoking on a lot of this Afrek, been enjoying that a lot. It's kind of a Afghan time wreck cross. It's really uplifting, but it's got kind of that train wrecky funk to it. Really liking that. And watching the Measure 91 stuff just kind of unfold. It sounds like last night there was a big victory for preventing some of the dismantling of OMMP, so that's cool.
Yep. Pieces and parts, we're fighting for it bit by bit. And I think at the end of all of this, I mean, one of the things we have to remember is that even if the worst of it came true, we'd still have the most liberal medical marijuana law in the country.
Yeah, I was reading some of that, and it sounds like if you were, this was struck down, but if you were a grower before January 1st, 2015, and you're outside of a city zone, then you're still in pretty good shape, even if those passed. I mean, 96 plants is a pretty solid medical plant count.
Hard to complain about a 96 plant garden, but some people will. I guess, you know, everybody's got their perspectives on this. Hey, what's happening for you? Are you making it out to the Global Cannabis March this weekend?
I'm hoping to link up with you guys down there. You know, years ago, I came down there and gave some cookies and whatnot to Ganja John, and that was kind of my introduction to 420 Radio. It was the normal daily audio stash back then.
Yeah.
And so it's nostalgic March.
Yeah, it's nostalgic to me, too. It's my 10-year anniversary of marijuana activism. I got started at the Global Marijuana March of 2005. That's when I met Madeline Martinez and Anna Diaz, and it all took off from there. So I encourage anyone to get down to the march because you never know who you might meet.
Yep. Yep, and it's supposed to be nice out. It's supposed to be a great day, so it should be good.
We're going to have a good time. All right, let's get to some music here because you've got one of our favorites, the Dogfather, D.O. Double Jizzle, Snoop Dogg on the deck. What's going on here?
Yep, we got Snoop D.O. Double G with Be Real. Going pretty gangster today. This is some of his old stuff, but I really like it. I really like especially Snoop Dogg's old stuff when he's still... I appreciate Snoop Lion and the new incarnations of his music, but I definitely appreciate the old stuff.
Yeah, yeah, loving that stuff. All right, so this is Snoop Dogg with Be Real. The tune is called Vato, and you know where people can get this? Is on an album somewhere?
Yeah, it's on the Blue Carpet Treatment, so you can find that on iTunes or I'm sure all the other marketplaces because he's a major distributed artist. So.
All right, well, here we go. Snoop Dogg.
I was chilling right around my way, 21st east side of the beach. This motherfucker ran up on me talking shit with his homies like he was a straight G. Ask him where I'm from while he running up. Gang bang my set on every one of them. Some things, sons, they just won't change. Fools don't respect nothing but the gang bang. What's seen is what's saw, dog, is the law. I had you niggas running like a marathon. Lil G's tryna creep on the ease with it. Talking about they gon' get my chain and they gon' leave with it. But they don't know, once they get close, it's tic-tac-toe. Three motherfuckers laid on the floor. Yeah, this happened yesterday. On the west they spray, I heard a SA say, he said,
Vato, you won't believe what I saw. I saw these pack of guys and they act real hard.
And what they do?
They twist their fingers, say you know who we are. He said, I don't give a fuck, ain't Snoop Doggy Dog.
Uh-huh.
They keep talking and it went too far. So Snoopy, he went straight through the trunk of his car.
And what'd he get?
He got his gun and they start running hard. He started firing and then he just charged.
Run, nigga, run, nigga. Duck, nigga, duck, nigga. Run, motherfucker, run. Run, motherfucker, run. Run, nigga, run, nigga. Duck, nigga, duck, nigga. Run, motherfucker, run. Run, motherfucker, run. I didn't mean to hit what I hit. Now that's three motherfuckers dead and I ain't seen shit. But these niggas are screamed with plea. But for a G like me, it's just a case. Really, you can see. I crack the Mac back and pop off rolling. And smack your neck back, you drop off falling. I haven't seen my mama in a week. And she ain't even ran her mouth about me. Fuck that, I ain't give a fuck about the law. Niggas say they wanna brawl, you would think that they were bras. Believing all the things that you never saw. In it, y'all been a dog, smoke you like a menthol. You think you know, but this can't go. You think you'll blow on my dope? What the fuck, no. See, these niggas proceed with speed, so feel the need to bleed. Oh, you hear my enemies going.
Vato, you won't believe what I saw. I saw these pack of guys and they act real hard.
And what they do?
They twist their fingers, say you know who we are. He said, I don't give a fuck, ain't Snoop Doggy Dog.
Uh-huh.
They keep talking and it went too far. So Snoopy, he went straight through the trunk of his car.
And what'd he get?
He got his gun and they start running hard. He started firing and then he just charged.
Run, nigga, run, nigga. Duck, nigga, duck, nigga. Run, motherfucker, run. Run, motherfucker, run. Run, nigga, run, nigga. Duck, nigga, duck, nigga. Run, motherfucker, run. Run, motherfucker, run. I wouldn't be the nigga that I am if I didn't pop niggas in they mouth. God damn. And Snoop will keep one foot on the streets and leave them covered in sheets. Run with them niggas with the heat. You never seen a thug like this. You never seen a dub like me. And I ain't weak for wanting peace. In fact, I could be beast of the east, motherfucker. I never hesitate to blaze. A nigga really trying to change his ways. We gotta move my team, cause my peoples are screaming that we need more. For funer is illegal. But bang on the song, make it feel like a drive-by. It's a shame, but somebody gotta die. They say it happens state to state, but when I'm mobbing in LA, all I hear the SA say, they go.
Vato, you
You won't believe what I saw. I saw these pack of guys and they act real hard.
And what they do?
They twist their fingers, say you know who we are. He said, I don't give a fuck, ain't Snoop Doggy Dog.
Uh-huh.
They keep talking and it went too far. So Snoopy, he went straight through the trunk of his car.
And what'd he get?
He got his gun and they start running hard. He started firing and then he just charged.
Run, nigga, run, nigga. Duck, nigga, duck, nigga. Run, motherfucker, run. Run, motherfucker, run. Run, nigga, run, nigga. Duck, nigga, duck, nigga. Run, motherfucker, run. Run, motherfucker, run.
Snoop Dogg, I'm boss gunshots. Skateboard beaters, I am boss gunshots. DPG, them boss gunshots. BBC, you know them boss gunshots. Come again now. Snoop Dogg, him boss gunshots. Skateboard P, you know him boss gunshots. Come again now. BBC, them boss gunshots. DPG, you know them boss gunshots. Come again now.
Four20 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest. Support for 420 Radio comes from Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies, a guide to gardening with nature, authored by Kip Zonderkopf. Based on the ethos that a living soil is the foundation of a thriving garden, Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies is your guide to naturally growing resinous buds and nutrient-rich veggies. Get the ebook now with instant download at kickassorganics.com. Previews available on Amazon, iTunes, Nook, Google Play, Kobo, and many other online retailers.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Welcome back, everybody. 33 after the hour, music from Delegation. That's It's Your Turn. If you're following along in the chat room, I have posted the final vote for the roll call on the amendment that my representative, Earl Blumenauer, proposed that would allow VA doctors to recommend medical marijuana to those patients, those veterans in the 23 medical marijuana states. Failed by a vote of 210 to 213. Pretty much party line. Democrats were for it, 175 to 8. Eight Democrats voted against it. So find those eight Democrats' name and send them a note. And Republicans, 35 Republicans voted yes, 205 no's. And more depressing, eight representatives didn't vote. Five Democrats, three Republicans. Assuming the three Republicans would have voted no and the five Democrats would have voted yes, this would have come to a 215-216 loss. We'd have lost by one vote if those other guys voted party line. Yeah, frustrating, isn't it? All right, we're going to go. I'm going to try and reach out by phone. I was trying to reach John Sajo earlier for our piece on the Senate Bill 844 and the -6-7 amendments. He lives out in the hinterlands. I've been to his place, man. It's like out there. And so I wasn't surprised he didn't get the email in time. He just got the email and said he'd be willing to speak to us. So we'll try to get John Sajo on the line, and let's see if we've got him there. John, this is Radical Russ. You're on the air.
Hi, Russ. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Folks, this is John Sajo, longtime activist here in the state of Oregon. He's been following the Measure 91 work sessions on this HB or Senate Bill 844, the -6-7 amendments. And I kind of broke it down for him based on your email, but I just wanted to get you on the line to see if you had any thoughts or insights on how much of this do you think is going to stay? How much is this, of this is going to pass and become the new law in Oregon?
Well, that's hard to say, but my guess is what comes out of this committee is pretty likely to become law. I assume that the leadership and the legislature has delegated the authority to this committee to work out the details, and probably both sides of are going to, you know, go with what they come out with would be my guess. So I think it's pretty likely.
Now, if I've gotten this correctly, they're grandfathering in current grows in the city to 24 plants, in the country to 96, and those new 12 and 48 limits apply only after a certain date in 2016. Did I get that right?
Yeah, and they may, you know, they may juggle the dates around a little more. They were talking about that, so I'm not sure the dust has settled on that particular point. And Anthony Johnson asked them to allow a little more time for various limits to phase in, so they may be considering that as well.
And other breaking news that I can bring to folks here, it appears Anthony Johnson, the chief petitioner of Measure 91, has been added to one of these rules advisory committees, and not just a subcommittee, but one of the main committees. Have you heard any more on that?
No, I haven't. So you might... No, that's news to me, but I assumed he would be on there. So
yeah, and we were kind of shocked because the preliminary lists that were coming out, it was all, you know, well, it's bad enough that the OLCC, Oregon Liquor Control Commission, they went on these listening tours, and throughout the listening tours, the head of the commission and at least two of the other commissioners I saw admitted they voted against Measure 91. So at least three out of five of them are against it. And then to think that they were going to stock these committees with law enforcement and rehab people and, you know, anti-marijuana people and not have someone on our side and Anthony Johnson there, that was too much to bear. I'm glad that that got changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what other things in these -6, -7 amendments are looking like they're going to become law?
Well, I would say the Section 15, I believe, which... preempts local governments from banning dispensaries and processing sites. The committee considered an amendment to allow them to do that, and it was voted down 6-4 on party lines. And so, say that's, and it was discussed quite a bit. And you know, it looks like the state of Oregon is not going to allow local governments to ban medical marijuana facilities, and that's pretty exciting. And a good thing, as far as I can tell, according to Rob Bovet, Oregon will be the first state to actually do that, and
to explicitly protect the cities and states, right?
Pardon me?
To explicitly protect the cities and counties with respect to medical marijuana facilities.
It explicitly says that they can't ban them or even make rules so restrictive that they effectively ban them.
Yeah.
Now, an interesting argument brought up by Rob Bovet, who's the attorney for the Association of Counties, is that, well, that's going to force these counties to litigate, and it's going to go all the way up to the Supreme Court and cause both medical marijuana and Measure 91 to be overturned by the courts. But I hope he's wrong on that, and I don't think I predict he is.
Yeah, it's kind of a Hail Mary there. I mean, Nebraska and Kansas are trying to sue to overturn legalization. And, you know, I don't see it happening, but you never know with our Supreme Court. We have a question from our chat room wanting to know about this whole grandfathering in of the existing grow sites. Is that based on the grow site location, or is that based on the grower who's been growing?
That's a good question. I think the language in the bill mostly refers to the address. And so the grandfathering is, you know, however many patients were registered as of January 1st of this year.
At that particular address. Okay, that makes sense. Some other changes.
But another change in the bill, though, is that it doesn't, you know, right now growers are restricted from growing at more than one address. I believe they've deleted that language from the bill and haven't put it back in. So it's another factor.
You know, one of the things that I was very pleased to see is the changes on immature plants. Number one, getting rid of the 12-inch designation. And number two, no longer counting. Like, who cares how many immature plants you got? How do you think that will impact the growers?
Well, I think it's fabulous. And I think it's really going to, I think it's going to change a lot. I think it's going to make it a lot easier for adults to, you know, get their plants in July, particularly if the legislature allows the dispensaries to sell to rec users then, which I think is a possibility. But I think it'll create a whole new industry, really, or sector of the industry where people will grow pretty big immature plants and sell them through dispensaries, and it'll make it easier for patients to grow their own and everybody else. So I think it's a big step, because we've all been inhibited in one way or another by, you know, trying to just have everything be under a foot unless it's plants. And so I think it's great.
I'm glad you brought that up, John, because really what you're describing is kind of the Papa Murphy's take and bake of marijuana plants.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, it's a niche that, you know, a new niche, and I'm sure people are going to jump in there and, you know, I think it's great, you know, and, you know, it means you'll be able to go to a dispensary and buy a pretty big plant instead of just a seedling.
Yeah, they just throw it into its flowering cycle, and there you go.
Yeah.
How cool. We got a call coming in here from Oregon with a question. Go ahead, caller. What's your question?
The rules, sorry about the flu, but does residential mean in the city limits, or and that consider outside the city limits? Because I live in a rural residential area.
Hmm.
This is for John Sejo.
Yeah, John.
I got a call from Peter Buckley, said I can grow 24, but I don't think so because I'm in rural residential.
Hmm.
No, rural residential, you could grow up to 48.
So it is, it's the, when they say residential, they're meaning urban residential versus
in
rural.
City limits.
Yeah.
How about unincorporated towns?
Unincorporated towns?
Yeah, like Alsea, Oregon.
Hmm.
I think that would be the 48 plant limit. You know, the other thing to remember is those limits are only the mature plants now, though. So even in the most restrictive category in the urban residential areas, you can have 12 mature of any number of immature plants of any size. So you can still have a lot of marijuana.
Okay. Well, I was just confused on this residential, because with the zoning, I mean, just being a city is not residential.
Right. Yeah.
Is that defined in the law? Is residential is only within a city limit?
As it's drafted right now, it says within city limits, zoned residential, and everything else is the 48 plant limit.
Yeah. The intent here seems to be that it's residential zones that are in incorporated cities. So if you're in a residential zone in an unincorporated town or out in a county or in just the hinterlands,
right,
you'd be under the bigger limits.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, very good question. Thank you for calling in. We're speaking with John Sejo, longtime activist here in the state of Oregon, who's been following the Measure 91 Joint Committee hearings. And any other changes coming through from those amendments that we ought to be aware of?
Well, the 844 will require reporting to the health department for anyone that is designated as a grower by somebody else. It will not apply to people that designate themselves as a grower. So that's a new thing that we're not too happy with. But the committee, Peter Buckley, has tried to indicate that it'll be very easy reporting of, you know, online somehow. And we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's it seems to me that when, you know, July 1st, every adult is allowed to grow 4 plants per household. And so in some cases, if it's just one grower growing for one person, they might just not even participate in medical at all. It's like, hey, I'll grow 4 plants for you and you'll be fine. And we can give marijuana freely. So, you know, it might be interesting how that works out.
It's important to realize that gardens where all the patients register as their own grower will not be subject to those reporting and inspection provisions, though.
Yeah.
So that is a way out for people that find that onerous, and the committee indicated they're really not interested in, you know, tracking home grows, you know, gardens just in people's houses or inspecting people's houses. They're looking at the bigger gardens that are going to be selling into the medical marijuana system.
Gotcha. All right, John Sejo, I want to thank you for all the work you've been doing on this and keeping an eye on our elected officials. Before I let you go, is there any groups or contact information or websites you want to, you know, shout out for people if they want more info on this or to help out in any way?
Yeah, I'd encourage people to go, you know, follow the action of the Measure 9. You can do it on OLIS, O-L-I-S. Follow the links to the Measure 91 committee. All of the hearings are online at any time, all the testimonies by people, and it's good stuff. Oregon is, I think, doing a much better job of implementing marijuana legalization than either Colorado or Washington, and it's pretty exciting to watch it unfold.
All right. I'm very excited and looking forward to July 1st. We are going to celebrate. And you got any big plans for the farm up there? Any big parties happening that I need to know about?
Well, I'm not sure. There is going to be a Umpqua Valley Hemp Fest on July 3rd, so I know I'll be at that, but I'm not sure where I'll be on the 1st. But all right. I'll get back to you on that, Rex.
Okay, thanks so much. John Sajo, appreciate all the work you're doing here in the state of Oregon. Have yourself a great day. It's a good day for it.
You bet. You too, Rex.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. When we come back, we're going to tell you the terrible story out of Houston.
Elitist. Just like any other dishwashing, burger-flipping, public school-educated, self-employed, bar band, musician, National Guardsman, he's Radical Russ.
Yeah, wait until you hear about this terrible story out of Houston, Texas, where the DEA apparently can secretly steal your shit, destroy it, and you can't sue them. More about that, and in memoriam for little Savannah in Georgia. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show's Toker Talk Radio. We're right back after these sponsor messages.
Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Oh, yeah. Get them roller skates laced up, folks. It's an all bake in the reverse direction. With the Bar K's, that's Hit and Run. That's some of that Big Daddy Fink funk. You can catch that later tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific time, on Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. The best in late 70s, early 80s, soul, funk, and disco with occasional surprises. Now and then you get some rockabilly, you get some blues, there's some good stuff there. Check it out. He's got the deep tracks too. You think you know your funk until you listen to Big Daddy's show and you go, who the hell is that? I thought I knew my funk until I started listening to Big Daddy. All right, so let me turn the ship around here. As you know, Georgia, Governor Nathan Deal recently signed legislation for CBD oil in the state. And actually one of the better CBD oil laws in that it allows up to 5% THC so long as it's matched by CBD. But you may also know that this was the second time around on this law. Georgia had a chance to pass one of these laws the last legislative session. But Governor Nathan Deal was kind of a roadblock to it, citing all the possible law enforcement concerns. Oh my goodness, if we let epileptic kids use a non-intoxicating cannabis oil, the next thing you know, teenagers will be smoking joints in Atlanta. You know, like they're not already. So Nathan Deal was kind of roadblock to this, but as time went on and more Sanjay Gupta specialists came out, and more states, conservative ones like Utah and Iowa, and almost the whole rest of the South passed some form of CBD law. This year, Georgia finally got its act together and passed the CBD law. Nathan Deal signed the law, according to one of the reports I read, with tears in his eyes. The law brought him to tears. I'll tell you what brings me to tears. Story out of My Fox Atlanta, young cannabis oil patient ruled brain dead, family says. We've been following the story of 8-year-old Savannah Talley, whose family has been trying to get cannabis oil to treat her extreme seizure disorder. According to the family's Facebook page, little Savannah developed a brain hemorrhage late Wednesday night and was declared brain dead. She was able to get 2 doses of the cannabis oil, but the treatment was too late. The family plans to take her off life support. Well, they've already done it because it said later this morning. So Savannah Talley, rest in peace. And just remember that if there hadn't been political posturing, if there hadn't been opposition from law enforcement, if there had been leadership from the governor's office, If only they had listened to these parents and listened to the experts and done the right thing a year ago, this girl might still be alive. This girl might still have a future. This family might not have been devastated to lose their child. I'm happy that other kids will finally have the chance to use this medicine. I'm sad that their parents have to become interstate drug traffickers in order to get it, since Georgia won't allow it to be produced in state. I'm happy that some of these parents can pick up and move to Colorado or Oregon or Washington or someplace where they can access this medicine. But every death of a child who could be benefited by this CBD oil lays at the feet of every law enforcement officer, every rehab, every prison guard, every piss tester that fights to keep this prohibition enacted, that really believes trying to stop adults from using marijuana is a worthy enough goal that we can sacrifice the lives of children to futilely try to accomplish it. It's an abomination. It shouldn't exist in this country. We're at a point now in our national understanding where fully 80% or more of the American people support medical marijuana, and not just CBD oil limited doesn't get you high medical marijuana, but full-on medical marijuana with the goddamn plant. And yet, there are still some 15 states where these kids can't get this medicine, where their parents will be criminals if they try to get it for them. Just today, Mary Fallon, the governor of Oklahoma, signed a CBD oil bill. And just last week, or a couple weeks ago, Governor Butch Otter of Idaho vetoed one. Governor Otter, the next Savannah tally is on you. The next little girl who dies in Idaho from a seizure disorder when she could have gotten CBD oil is on you. This isn't Cheech and Chong games. This isn't Haight-Ashbury. This isn't tie-dyes. This is sick little kids. And I can understand somewhat this battle over the get you high marijuana and us just having fun with it. It's ridiculous, but I understand it a little. But just like banning industrial hemp, I can't understand banning CBD. I can't understand not allowing this oil to be nationally legal right now. I don't understand President Barack Obama not signing an executive order that removes cannabidiol from the schedules right now. How many more 8-year-old little girls do we lose before we finally recognize this self-evident truth? It's disgusting. All right, let me switch over to another story that's disgusting. So, in Houston, Texas, there's this guy named Craig Patty, and he's a trucking company owner. And by trucking company, I mean he had two trucks, two big rigs. That's his company. We're not talking about a major shipper. We're talking a little guy, a little family business he's got, a couple of trucks. Unbeknownst to him, his driver decides to work with the DEA, decides to become a CI, decides to work undercover with the DEA. The DEA, in November of 2011, had the driver, his name was Lawrence Chapa. He was working for a DEA task force, one of those task force that's both federal officers and local officers. They were supposed to be watching him drive his truck from the Rio Grande Valley to Houston. He was going to take him where the load was delivered, and they were going to arrest the drug cartel members that they found there. But what happened is that as it entered the Northwest Houston corridor there, with 24 law enforcement officers watching, several heavily armed Los Zetas cartel-connected soldiers in SUVs converged on the truck. There was a firefight. The truck was wrecked. It was riddled with bullet holes. The driver was killed. Blood all over the inside of the truck. A plainclothes Houston officer shot a plainclothes county sheriff, thinking he was one of the gang members. Four of the attackers were arrested and charged with capital murder. The truck was impounded, but it was out of service for several months. Remember, that's half this guy's fleet out of service for months. The DEA refused to pay damages. His insurance company wouldn't pay damages because the truck had been used for a criminal act, and that was one of the exceptions in their coverage, so he couldn't cover the damage. His family had to live through emotional distress because, hey, now the cartel knows that this family had snitches working with the trucks, and you know how cartels like to go after families and teach them a lesson, right? So he sued in the Southern District of Texas in Houston, Stephen Craig Patty versus the United States of America. And the judge ruled that the DEA does not owe the owner anything. Not even the cost of repairing the bullet holes to his truck. Nothing. He can't sue the feds. He can't get anything for his emotional suffering, for the 90 or so days he had his truck was out of commission, his business suffered, both from not having the truck and from the reputation of being involved with the cartels. And the DEA used this guy's truck without his permission. That driver, Lawrence Chapa, he didn't own the truck. Wasn't his truck to give over for permission. None of that matters. You can't sue the cops for that. And this basically sets a precedent that says the cops can take your stuff, use it in stings. If it gets damaged, you can't sue them. Happy Thursday, everyone.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
All right, folks, that's all the time we got for today. Join us tomorrow for another 2 hours of news and interviews for the cannabis community. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Download the app at 420radio.buzz. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.